RandomChatter.com presents
Oliver Queen,
an Arrow podcast.
Now I will fulfill my father's dying wish.
Dedicated to the discussion of the Arrow television series.
Bring down those who are poisoning my city. To do this, I must become someone else. I must become
Green Justice. Welcome back, everybody, to Green Justice, an Arrow podcast. I'm your host, Jay.
And I'm Josh.
And you have discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show Arrow, with discussion and commentary on all the various episodes. So, this week, Josh, how do you mend a broken heart? How can you even try? That's the question I think we're going to be answering here. And maybe it's just because I got Bee Gees on the mind. That's why I want to talk about this. But It was an episode I was expecting to not like, and I'm wondering if that complete and utter despair going into the beginning of the episode actually made me enjoy it a little bit more than I would have if I came in with no other expectation.
I do find that if you lower your expectations as low as possible, that it does often enhance the viewing entertainment of whatever you're watching. That's what I'm planning on doing with Batman versus Superman.
Yeah. Well, it is a very interesting philosophical question, and maybe we can answer it by the end of this episode. But why don't you tell us a little bit about what we are going to be discussing on this week's Green Justice?
Okay, well, grab your hanky. So we're going to be talking about episode 16 from season 4, Broken Hearts. Aired March 23rd, 2016. This was written by Rebecca Bellotto and Nolan Dunbar and directed by John Showalter. Right? Well, grab your Kevlar tuxedos because Cupid is back in town.
Stupid.
And she's after newly married couples that believe in true love.
Love. True love.
It binds us together. Oliver probably won't have to worry about Cupid interrupting his wedding, though, because Felicity packed up all her things and she's moving out now.
Very efficiently, too, by the way.
Yes. Yeah. A little too much. That was making me uncomfortable, actually. I can't even imagine how Oliver was feeling. Now, as hard as that is to accept, Oliver's going to have to focus on catching this other woman scorned, Cupid, right? He's not going to have any help from Laurel right now. She's busy trying to get a judge to send Damien Dark.
Kenneth Bender.
Excuse me. Kenneth Bender.
Yes.
The Markovian Kenneth Bender. She's trying to send him to trial.
The most Markovian of Markovian names.
That is. I mean, that's like, you know, a Kenneth Bender moves into your neighborhood and you're like, oh, we've got Markovians living here. Well, it's not as nearly as easy as she had hoped it would be to get him to trial here. The only option is going to be to let her father testify against him. Hmm. You know, sometimes the best options are not the most pleasant options. So now the best option for drawing out Cupid that Oliver can think of is to pretend to marry Felicity so she'll attack.
Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Right, right. Pretend. Uh-huh.
Yeah, pretend. Uh-huh. Right, right, right. This is like in that scene in Muppets Take Manhattan when Piggy actually hires a real priest. For Whoops. The show, and they get married on stage. Anyway,
right.
But even though Oliver reveals his true feelings during this fake wedding.
Feewings. Two feewings.
It's not going to be enough to get Felicity back.
And that may not be such a bad thing.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
All right. So, well, before we get into talking about broken hearts, depending on your mood right now in Arrow Season 4, this may interest you or not, but Arrow has been renewed for a fifth season, which is not necessarily a surprise.
I'm going to applaud that decision. I'm okay. I'm good.
I think it is a good move. I want them to have a fifth season. Now, beyond five seasons at this point, given my current mood about the show, I don't know if I want to see a sixth season, because a fifth season would be great because it would bring us full circle on the flashbacks you know, because at the end of the fifth season with the flashbacks, he will be getting off the island. So really, what will they be able to do after that? And, you know, are they, are we going to realize some point during the fifth season that we've all just been kind of killing time as they kind of get to that point, which, you know, sometimes it feels like that.
Well, I certainly don't want them to force anything as they go into the future. No. You know, there's series that have lasted for just a little bit too long. But I'm confident
that
they can, I'm confident that they can come up with some more good things. I mean, heck, we've had Green Arrow comics for going on, what, 60, 70 years, something like that. I mean, there's got to be more gas in the tank here. But like you said, depending
on the 75th anniversary of Green Arrow here.
The what, 75th? Is that what you said?
I think so. Well, Flash just celebrated his 75th.
That's right. I just got that.
Superman celebrated his 75th recently. So that's, you know, Green Arrow has been around a little bit less than those guys. So coming up here.
Well, see, there you go. See, look at all those stories they could go to. They need to give him an Arrowmobile. That's what that's what season six will be. The Arrowmobile.
That is what it's missing. Oh boy, you're selling it now.
Thank you.
Well, speaking of selling, for those of you that like supporting the cast members of Arrow on, what's the name of the? It's not a GoFundMe page. What's the site that they were using?
This one we're talking about, Represent, or is it something else?
Represent. Emily Bett Rickards has got a shirt for sale on represent.com, very much like when Stephen Amell was selling his shirts. Her proceeds, it's all for charity, of course, and her proceeds for every tee sold will go to the American Autoimmune Related Disease Association, the AARDA, which I am not immediately familiar with, but it sounds like a great charity for her to put her money towards. You know, probably just as good as any other one, and it's great that she has charities that she's working with to try to raise some money. So if you're interested in that, you can go to represent.com/Emily.
Yes, and it's got a cute little design, a little cartoon image of her. It says bathroom therapy. Got some.
If you follow her on Instagram or Twitter, you know, there's often pictures of her just not necessarily with water in the tub, just sitting in her tub clothed. But she seems to get kind of a kick out of that. And they've got it in several colors, several sizes, several styles. So you can get that. Well, it says bathroom therapy, 2 cents, too. I would think that's like the Peanuts cartoon with Lucy and
I gotcha.
The psychiatric help, 5 cents, something like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, pretty cute. So go check it out. It's a, you know, good cause.
All right. So Broken Hearts touted as the return of the character Cupid, which Carrie Cutter is a very interesting character on the show. I think it's I feel like it's kind of the Harley Quinn to Harley Quinn is to Batman as Cupid is to Arrow. I feel that would be like an SAT sort of question
there. Very good analogy, yes. I hope that shows up on this year's.
On this year's?
Yeah, standardized tests.
Feeling it just might. and I believe the last time we saw her was in the Suicide Squad episode from last season called Suicidal Tendencies. It was it was about this time in the season. It was like either 3:16 or 3:17, I think. And She had fallen in love for the second time in her life, right? She had, as she talked about, she had loved two men, the first one being the Arrow, which she doesn't seem to recognize the Green Arrow as being the same character, which is fine. You know, it seems kind of obvious, I think, to all of us that it's the same character. But, you know, everybody believes in Central City that the Arrow was killed, I think, right? And then that the Arrow was Harper.
First they believe it was Roy Harper, yeah, and then they believe he was killed, and then they believe, yeah, you know, people in Central City are pretty easy to fool.
Yeah, Star City,
excuse me, I said Central City. Right. They're pretty easy to fool, too.
they're all a bunch of dupes. But she had just fallen in love with Deadshot and was kind of following him around with, you know, puppy dog eyes through that episode, and then he dies, and so then she's immediately put back into prison. Well, obviously, she's done some other deeds with Task Force X, as they mentioned in this episode. And it doesn't sound like she escaped. It sounds like she was released at some point before Amanda Waller got killed, which would have been, you know, like a month ago, basically. But what I found interesting is that Cupid was obviously very infatuated with Deadshot, because at least twice in this episode, she kept saying one of his lines from that episode from last year. And I only remember this just because it's a really interesting line that stands out so much. But Deadshot described love as being a bullet to the brain, which, you know, is with a character that is a gun, you know, an expert marksman, you know, and a user of guns and stuff like that. It makes kind of sense. And then we've got Cupid coming on this episode and saying that. And I'm just wondering, did you have any take on her line there, like why she might be using that particular line, or did you even remember that it was a line from Deadshot?
You know, I think I did kind of know in the back of my head that he had said something like that, and it seemed obvious to me when she said she had been in love twice that she was talking about Arrow and Deadshot, because I remember the relationship she had, or the, I guess not the relationship, but the attraction that
right.
she had.
Was, if you ask the guys, there was actually no relationship there at all.
Well, there wasn't. He followed her into a mission, and then he died. That was the right. relationship. But so I kind of put that together, I guess, even if I didn't remember the specific line. But now that you say it, I do remember him talking about that.
Yeah. It just is interesting. It kind of shows her infatuation, I think, and how far off the deep end she's kind of gone. I mean, her previous appearances, she was troublesome, but I don't feel that she was extremely deadly. And in this episode, she, you know, the opening sequence was, I mean, that is probably one of the more kind of horrific things that we've probably seen on the show.
I would agree with you. Boy, talking about feeling uncomfortable, that one really did. I mean, even if they just showed a little less, I think it might have made me feel a little better. But it was brutal.
And she's such a... I really want to see her come back because I feel that the actress, Amy Guminick, I believe, is the actress who plays Cupid. She's got that just a nudge, touch of crazy in playing the character while, you know, playing a character called Cupid. You know, she's obviously very attractive and, you know, fits in very well with the rest of the cast. But she really just was a standout to me in this episode because even as crazy as she still is responding to, at the end, Felicity's declaration of love, I guess. And
yeah,
when Cupid said, you know, you could even make a girl believe in love again, I didn't feel like the character was mocking or anything. I felt that Felicity actually was reaching through to this character, and it was just a really unexpected direction that I felt that they were taking. I felt that they, because they were going very serious, with the Oliver, Felicity storyline, that they were going to go a little more, be a little lighter and maybe frivolous on the Cupid storyline, but that really didn't seem to be the case. I mean, there were moments of humor and stuff that were in that, but they were really trying to play it as serious as possible, I think. I actually believed what was going on with that and thought it was pretty well done.
I'm with you. I thought the character of Cupid, it could really, really be done over the top. And I guess you could argue that maybe she was, but I think she did a good...
There were parts that she seemed like that, definitely.
Well, so you called her crazy. They called her crazy, and you could definitely argue that. But I think crazy to me is like the Joker,
right? At least who the Joker's portrayed as now. And just absolutely just loony bins, right? I mean, just in any given situation, he'll just do what you completely don't expect, right?
Yeah.
But
okay.
To me, the character of Cupid, it's in less crazy and more extreme emotions, right? Extreme infatuation, extreme anger, and on the same side, extreme sadness and extreme, like when Felicity's talking to her at the end, extreme emotional connection, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
So more so than crazy, just like just disturbed or something. Yeah,
okay. Is that your official DM4 classification?
Yes. Yeah, official. Yeah, or something. That's it. she's got or something.
She does have or something.
So. But I do like her as a character, and I think I agree with you. It's like a Harley Quinn kind of character, but I think it was done pretty well. Pretty well. I wouldn't want to see her too often. Maybe
oh,
one
no
more
spin-off?
Time in this no spinoff, please. Okay. Maybe one more time in the series, but that would mm-hmm. probably be enough for me.
It yeah. If they did another story with her, they could probably do a little bit more with the character, because I think each time they've had her on, they've grown the character.
Yeah.
And she's in a different place now, so that's cool. So as you mentioned in your little brief above that. She interrupts Oliver and Felicity in a mock wedding, which the previews that I had seen with this, and there had been a picture released, I don't know, several weeks ago.
Yeah, I think Mark Guggenheim tweeted that out, didn't he?
Mark Guggenheim tweeted it or one of the other actors. And basically, he was saying, not a dream sequence. This is really happening, and it's... After, of course, what happened on the last episode with Felicity returning Oliver's engagement ring and physically walking out on him, you're like, how can this possibly happen? Like, how can there be a wedding? And so then I hear that Cupid's back in town. So, I'm like, oh, okay, I think I know where this is going. And yeah, I was not looking forward to this. I thought this was going to be Felicity's upset with Oliver, so Oliver's tactic is going to be, hey, let's go ahead and pretend to get married so we can, draw Cupid out. And I just thought it was going to end poorly. I lowered my expectations so far. They actually surprised me with what they did. And I felt it was an adequate closure to the Oliver Felicity relationship, which I was happy when it wasn't the guessing game. It's like, will they, won't they, can they commit, can they not commit? Like, they were happy for a while there, and that was fine. It was just they kept bringing it up to the forefront, where I think they should just kind of keep that relationship in the background now. And at this point, there's no relationship of any kind.
Right.
I'm assuming that Felicity will still be on the show in some fashion.
I hope so. And I have said, and I won't harp on this too much, but I have said, number one, at the beginning of the season when we saw the grave, I said I didn't want her to die. I really like Felicity as a character. Not so much in this episode. I mean, it was a good episode with her. I thought she did a great job. But I like the funny, quirky, fast-talking Felicity. That's the one. That's the character I like.
Yeah.
And I didn't want her to die. And I still don't want her to die. But I think I said a couple weeks ago or whenever we did the show last that I would be okay if they broke this relationship up and not kill her. But yeah. I do still want her to stick around. And at this point, it doesn't look good for that. I mean, now I think she will. I haven't heard that she was leaving or anything. But
right. But with the character right now, there's no reason for her to stick around. I mean, she's not with Oliver, so that's weird. And then she was with the team, but she can't really be with the team because Oliver's there, because that's weird. So she's quit the team as well. So, what's going on with that? So what do you think they're going to go with her? I mean, what place does she have in the show, or how can they kind of keep her engaged in the rest of the season even? We still got five or five, six or seven episodes left here, I guess.
Yeah. So I think, where do I think they're going to go? I think they're both going to have to move on to, new quasi relationships. And what I mean by that is they don't have to be necessarily committed, but they have to show some interest in other people and, mm-hmm. and maybe not even just one of them, but both of them. And then I think that they can kind of, feel a little bit more comfortable around each other again. Also, I think something is going to come up very soon in the next episode or two where they absolutely will need Felicity. They cannot do it without her, and they'll have to contact her and get her to help out. Either that or something will happen to her, you know, and she needs the team. Either way, they're going to need each other. So, that's where I think they're going to go. I don't really know, but I want to believe that the writers have something good and exciting and dramatic in store, and we'll kind of get away from this CW love story kind of thing. And, you know, I will say once again, in defense of where they are right at this point in the season right now,
mm-hmm.
that I think it was tough for the writers of this show to have to deal with and fit in so many episodes setting up Legends of Tomorrow. And while I'm really enjoying Legends of Tomorrow and I still enjoy Arrow, I think that gave them a lot of speed bumps that probably changed the story enough where it has caused some of these quirky little things that people aren't liking right now in this season.
It's probably, we've talked about that before. I think that's probably a pretty accurate approval of discussion of what has been going on.
Well, also, and so, you know, so I think that if they don't have to do anything like that next season, that that will free them up a little bit maybe.
True, true. Also, if you go back and look at who was writing the Arrow episodes in the first couple seasons, that is not the same group of writers. There are some writers still that are on here, but those writers have moved on to be working on The Flash, which is as you talk about on our Flash podcast, Scarlet Velocity. You know, it's the highest rated show on the CW as far as the superhero shows here go, if not amongst all the shows. So, you know, they're really putting their A team over there, and I think there's also been a slight change in some of the production crew as well. So while Mark Guggenheim is, you know, still tweeting stuff out about this and still involved in the show, I think there's a more streamlined, I can't remember who is running this now, but, you know, obviously you've got Andrew Kreisberg busy with working on Flash and Legends of Tomorrow and Supergirl, you know, so, yep. you know, people
it's stretching it thin there.
Right, the bigger names who have started the shows and added a lot of the original quality that we saw are branching out and continuing to do work that they want to do, which means that the day-to-day running of the show and the direction that the seasons go and the way that the shows are written and produced and stuff like this gets handed down to other people. And, you know, as that changes, you know, those people's visions are different from sure. some of the other
sure. I would really like to see what they did on Flash. I mean, we haven't even seen this yet, so I don't know the results, but I would like to see Kevin Smith come in and write or direct an episode of this, because he actually has experience in the Green Arrow universe.
Yeah, he's written Green Arrow comics. I don't recall him writing Flash comics, but
no,
he's
directing a Flash
episode, yeah. So I think this was a good episode in the sense that it took a number of these weird loose threads and this yes. kind of mess of this illicity relationship, and it kind of wadded it all up and we can tuck it away and, you know, kind of get back to streamlining the show and, you know, maybe solving this whole Damian Darhk issue this season and, you know, just taking care of.
Yeah, let's see some more action with Damian Darhk. I like that idea.
Speaking of Darhk, we've got some symbolism here in the episode. At the very end of the episode, we had Felicity taking off the wedding ring, which I'm wondering if, in fact, that they actually are married, because I don't know if the attendant or whoever, you know, really married them. Though, granted, I know that I think you do have to sign something, you know, before you're married, because
yeah.
there is the
technically
religious
ceremony isn't the legal part of it.
Right. The civil ceremony and the legal and the religious ceremony are separate.
Despite what they said in Princess Bride, I think you actually have to.
So she takes off her ring and returns it to Oliver, as we cut to Damien Dark being taken to jail. And he has been hiding this ring, which looks like a wedding ring.
Well, he puts it on his wedding ring finger.
He does. And, you know, starts, it looks like he's turning it, you know, or kind of just playing with it a little bit. So what do you think that ring is? What do you think that has to do with his character in any way here?
All right. Well, let's see. First, maybe I should discuss a little symbolism. Should I talk about symbolism?
Symbolism's great. You really enjoy that, so okay. Go ahead.
Well, a ring in literature is a symbol of course, of love and affection, right? I mean, that's why they use it for weddings, right? But it's also something that is unbroken. It's a circle, right? It's unending. Yes. Doesn't have a beginning or an end. So when they show Felicity giving this ring back to Oliver, I believe that is a symbol of it is truly over. So, like it or not like it, I think that's truly over. Now, okay. Dark pulls that out, his magical tongue ring there, or wherever he's keeping that.
Here you go.
And he, in other words, he is in prison. He's kind of at the bottom. It's not looking good for him. However, he pulls a ring out, showing that, you know, he does not have an end. You can't stop Damien Dark, at least not that easily, right? Which is kind of what the ring represents. Now, literally, what does it represent? I think it's one of his, what were they calling them? A talisman or the magical artifact, you know, that they had.
I think a talisman is probably an appropriate term for it. I think they use that.
So it seems like it could be something like that gave him back some of the powers he lost when he lost the other things that they had denied him, right, or gotten rid of.
Sure. And as Vixen had said on the last episode when she was on, because I believe it was her episode right before the break, correct?
I think so, yes.
So, you know, that there are other people that have these mystical totems, I guess is what they were calling them. But you know, well, his totem looked like a monkey head or whatever it was. You know, hers was a little wolf necklace thing, something like that.
But so I got the impression that he had more than one.
Right. I mean, and there was that weird box that he had that he opened up that had some weird symbols inside of it. Remember there was a episode where he had that? So, yeah, he seems to have lots of different things that he collects. So it would totally fit in his character and be appropriate that, you know, he could have a ring that would provide him a modicum of magical power that he could use to, you know, do whatever, you know, maybe just sway a jury. Like that's all it's the mystical ring of jury swaying.
I did find it kind of interesting that he put it on his wedding ring finger, especially because his wife is the one running and presumably winning now for mayor.
Yeah. That is interesting. Now you say that, I didn't realize that it was actually his left hand that he was putting it on.
So. I went back and looked to check because I was wondering about that.
Interesting. Well, so the reason he is staying in prison is a lot due to Laurel. I think Laurel is quite a competent district attorney, but really it comes down to Captain Lance. And I want to talk just a little bit about the kind of the sacrifices that he makes in this particular episode, which I also thought was strong. There were a number of things that reared their head in this particular episode where it's things that I've joked with my friends about. It's like, oh, how silly is Arrow getting? Because there are characters that they do things, but there are no consequences to these things. And it's true, there are not initial consequences to a number of things, but they are now, you know, coming around, right? Again, like with a circle, the wheel turns and it comes around and finally, you know, your number's going to come up. So he decides to testify, but in him making his testimony, he's basically incriminating himself and, you know, will seek punishment, you know, or will have retribution for these, you know, for speaking out either from Dark or from the legal system. So I was wondering what you think is going to happen to poor Quentin here in the next few episodes.
Well, first of all, let me give like major props to Paul Blackthorne. I thought he played that brilliantly this week. Really spotlighted his abilities as an actor, but I think he's going to suffer ramifications from both the police, which you saw kind of at the end. You know, he's on, he's suspended, which he was totally ready to accept. He was expecting it, knew it was coming, and he took it.
And I appreciated them having him not really be surprised by any of this. The fact that he knew. You know, he was chief of police, right? He should know exactly what's going to happen to him. And he accepts it and he takes it, you know, with very, you know, high, what I want to say.
Dignity?
He just handled it well.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of dignity he had there.
Yeah.
So this is interesting, though, because we kind of talked about this on the Flash show this week. He was doing whatever he believed it would take to save his daughter. And that did actually result in a couple of people at least dying, I think, because of his actions, right?
Oh, yeah. There were several police that died. I mean, there was the raid on the police station early in the season where a number of people were shot.
And even the mayor, I guess, right? Didn't.
The mayor and the district attorney and the there was a third person, another
almost
member of the council.
But so, or was that last season? No, that might have been last season. I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But what I'm saying is, like, so is he, you know, justified in these actions? I think he doesn't even think he is, but he was doing what he thought was necessary at the time. But he's perfectly willing to accept the consequences from that, even though he knows it could actually mean his life. He's aware of that. He's aware that Dark would come after him.
Right, and that's what the judge points out, which I had some problems with, you know, just some of the dialogue with the judge pointing certain things out to the
to Damian Dark. Hey, just in case you needed a really good reason to kill him, let me just lay it out here for you.
Right. It's, you know, I understand there. It's not a procedural law show, so they're having to explain things to us. But he knows what he's getting himself into, and the fact that Laurel wouldn't immediately jump on that, you know, shows that. Her character's really come around because, you know, there was a lot of, there was a long time where she and her father just did not get along very well at all. And she probably would have jumped at a chance to, you know, kind of, quote, pay him back, you know, for things that she had done. But, you know, they're in a really good place now. And she really was like, you know, no, we'll figure out some other way. And obviously, you know, they talk about her going through a number of different witnesses who perjured themselves or tried to plead the fifth on the stand because they all knew that if they testified, you know, it probably would mean the end of their life. And it shows that, you know, you don't have to wear a hood to be a hero on this show. I mean, the heroes come in all, you know, shapes and sizes on Arrow. And as the chief of police, you know, he is really leading the department by example. Whatever's left of the department, I guess, because it's been cut down quite a bit. Yeah.
Well,
Yeah, go ahead.
No, because of this episode, I have a new theory as to who's in the grave. Do you want me to share that now?
Yep, let's keep moving on with the grave speculation every week.
I'm going to go in a little different direction, and I don't think we have seen everything. Obviously, we haven't seen everything that happens in that scene at the graveyard. And because of everything that went on in this episode, not just with the trial and Lance, but everything with Felicity and the trial and Damien Dark, I believe now we actually have two graves, and Oliver was standing in front of one of them, and you don't see her, but we know she can walk now. I think Felicity was standing in front of the other. I think both Captain Lance and Donna Smoke are dead, and I think Damien Dark killed them.
Oh, wow. So you went for the double homicide there.
Well, and this would explain a lot of things, okay? Number one, it explains why Oliver's broken up. It also explains Barry does know Captain Lance. If you remember, didn't they work with him to find the remains of the real Harrison Wells back in season one of The Flash?
Yep. Yep. He brought them some he visited The Flash and brought some information, I believe. Yeah.
Right, right. And you know, it also would kind of explain Barry's what am I trying to say? Just the way he was acting when he met Oliver, you know? I mean, he wasn't as broken up as Oliver. I mean, he knew the guy, but he wasn't like close, right?
Right.
It would also explain why Felicity wasn't there with him, that she could have been at another grave. And that's why she went to the graveyard, but she wasn't standing with him. We had assumed at one point in the season that she was sitting there because she couldn't walk.
Yes.
But we know that to now not be true. So,
correct.
I think it would explain why she is so incredibly broken up and wants Oliver to kill him, which is uncharacteristic of her. But if it was her mother that got killed by Damien Dark, I think that would make her want Oliver to kill him.
My
new theory. My new theory. Both of them are dead.
Good. That's, you know, at this point, that's as good a theory as any of the other ones that we've tried to figure out here. So, I was actually thinking that there was going to be some reprisal with Lance in this episode. So there was a scene at the end where they were walking out. I think they were walking out of the courtroom, but they could have been walking. It could have been a little bit later, and they were walking through the police station. But Frank, who is one of Lance's detectives, comes to collect Quentin's gun and badge. But he's wearing his long trench coat and stuff. And I just got that kind of creepy vibe where it's like, you know, the bad guys, they always send the friend, you know, to come assassinate somebody. So he was basically like the last person that Lance would think. And I was waiting for him to just like, you know, shoot him. And then, like, take off, and Laurel would be left. You know, it'd be like the other, month when Felicity got shot at the end of an episode. You're like, oh my gosh, this is gonna, you know, lead into the grave thing. It's like Lance gets shot.
Oh yeah,
now,
yeah.
You know, but he didn't. It was just them showing that. Okay, so Lance is now, you know, having sanctions brought against him. He's, you know, having his gun and everything taken from his gun and his badge taken from him as IAD starts to investigate, you know, what's going on with him. And you know, he may, I would respect the show a lot more if he actually gets his title removed from him. Like if he, you know, gets in trouble for this, because it would prove that there actually are consequences for the actions that the characters take on the show, and, you know, not just in a superficial sort of way. Like, we're worried that Damien Dark's going to get him. I mean, Damien Dark may get him, but to actually have the, have him lose his police captaincy would prove a little bit more, I think.
Yeah. I mean, that's all of that is good speculation and would fit with this episode. See, I thought this episode had some meat to it. It really did.
Yeah. And for once in a couple episodes here, I think the flashbacks actually proved a little bit more meaty and interesting than they have been, rather than just this kind of slow stringing out of stuff. I think they've gone back to something more. That totem in the flashback sure looked familiar. Where might I have seen that before?
Amazon?
No, I don't think so. No. It's well, obviously, it's the exact same totem that Vixen smashed that was giving Damian Dark his amazing powers for the previous season. I do have a great side-by-side photo of the two scenes from the Vixen episode a couple episodes ago and this week's episode that I'll be putting up on our Facebook page, so check that out there. So that obviously explains a number of things, though there's still the connection of how does this totem get from Baron Ryder to Damian Dark? And if Damian Dark has been around, you know, for so long, like, what's he using at that point for his power? So, I mean, but I think
he's
using
his ring, right? His little power ring.
Yeah, possibly.
Maybe
possibly,
he's Green
yeah.
Lantern. Maybe that's who Damian Dark is.
Worst superhero reveal ever. But I think we had talked about this at one point, or I had speculated that Ryder was probably working with Damian Dark in some fashion earlier in the season. And now I think it seems like that may be confirmed, though. It may be something where Ryder gets some power and then Damian Dark happens to notice this and goes in and just takes it from him. But it also could be possible that Dark is working with Ryder.
So, now yep. Dark works with an organization, right? Hive.
Hive.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so maybe Ryder is also part of Hive. Now, if you remember right, this is only 5 years prior to where we are in the show right now. So it's
true.
Not all that far away.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's true. I'm trying to remember now if we got any. I remember us talking about Hive and Ryder at one point, but I can't remember if there was anything that had been revealed on that. But anyway, I felt that was that the flashbacks are, like I said, are getting a little more meaty there, and an interesting tie-in as we've talked about before. The flashbacks used to tie in a little stronger to the main storyline, and I felt that this episode also revisited that, which I thought was cool.
Yes, I like
that. Ryder is mentioning the difference between, I guess, when Ryder kills a guy and Oliver calls him insane because he kills him and wants him to die so that, as we find out, the power of the dead spirit, whatever, gets transferred over into the totem and into Ryder's, a tattoo on Ryder's forearm or something like that, or at least a marking. Ryder mentions the difference between insanity and belief is the number of believers. So going back to our discussion that we had earlier about Cupid and how I said she was crazy, you know, it kind of speaks to the Cupid character versus Damian Dark, right? So Cupid is, as you pointed out, well, I don't think you use the word insane, but, you know, she could be considered insane because she's really the only one that believes in all the stuff she believes in. But Dark now has all these ghosts, right? I mean, he's got a number of loyal followers. And however insane the stuff is that he's doing, he's got this group, this cult, this army that follows him. And, you know, the more people you get buying into something, the more valid that becomes. So I thought that was an interesting parallel that they were drawing between kind of the two villains on the main part of the show with the flashback. It was very nicely done.
That is interesting. I didn't even think about that connection. I like that.
And also, I'm wondering, they've talked about how the people who are ghosts, such as Andy, have been legally declared dead. Now, whether that means they actually were killed and resurrected in some fashion, or if it's just, you know, kind of a, you know, death on paper sort of thing.
Right. And didn't they earlier in the season, they had found their DNA had been changed or something like that. So they couldn't
identify. Yeah, it was
identify
the pills. Right. The pills they were taking was doing something to their DNA. So if this totem that Dark was using to give himself power, Ryder shows us that the death of one person, you know, can fuel the totem and give a certain amount of power to the wielder of the totem.
Mm.
has Dark been killing off all these people that are ghosts and then resurrecting them with magic or something else? Or is he just maybe he could just be killing off a bunch of other innocent people? Or maybe he's killing off some of his ghosts and not other ones or something like that, but using that to fuel his power.
Interesting. I didn't make that connection at all. I bet you're right. That makes a lot of sense, and it fits, especially with that totem.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a number of other things a number of questions that get opened up with this, even though the totem's been destroyed. And so Oliver has these pieces of the totem, and I'm wondering if he recognizes it for what it is. And that's why he's holding on to the pieces or what? I'm not really certain about that. We didn't really get enough information on that at the time. So we'll have to tune in. But, you know, as you can see, there were a number of things that were going on in this episode that is, you know, a little bit deeper than it has been. And, you know, it really surprised me. And I'm interested to see where they are going to go from this. The series has not completely lost me. I think there are still valid reasons to continue watching, though, you know, there definitely have been a number of missteps. And, you know, I feel like we're almost back to where we were at the end of season three. It's getting a little difficult to continue being excited about the show, especially when there are other comic book related shows on TV that are producing quality material and have been on for almost as long as Arrow. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is doing a tremendous job. Flash is having a really solid sophomore season. Supergirl's doing really good on its freshman outing. But we don't know where those are going to go. You know, as they get on to their third and fourth seasons, you know, they might have some missteps as well.
Sure.
But
sure. Well, I mean, I will say this about it. I'll say two things about this. Number one, I really hope that whatever they decide to do, and it really is up to them, because I think they've got some quality writing, even if people aren't fans of it right now, even if it's not where they expected it to go or want it to go, it is some pretty quality writing. I mean, I like some of the ideas of the storylines, even though maybe it's not what I would have chosen. Right?
Sure. There's worse stuff out there.
Oh, sure, sure. But I just hope because of what this show has spawned and the success that it had and what has come from it, and you could say Flash, definitely say Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, and I would even say Supergirl, even though it's on a different network, I think the success of Arrow kind of helped push that because of the people that created it, you know, were given the opportunity because of their successes. And it was all because of this quality writing on Arrow. So I really hope that whatever this show does, however it does end up, I hope it doesn't end with a fizzle. I hope that it just ends with people feeling like it is the time to end it, right? Because they just sort of feel it's the right time. And I hope people can support that. And I also will go back, and I think I mentioned this last season when we were having a similar discussion about certain episodes, that people aren't saying they don't like it because it's just not what they expected. I think a show can be good even if it's not what you expected. You just have to kind of look at it for what it is. This particular episode, I heard people really get down on it. You know, people were letting us know on some Twitter, and I saw some websites and some articles written about how this show has gone downhill. But I thought this episode served a really good purpose of getting it back on track to what people want. I think moving away from the love, you know, story line and some of the other things, I think will help it. I think they do need to get back to the root of what made the show popular the first and second season. I think that'll kind of help them out a little bit. And then they can be creative with their ideas.
They just need to make an R-rated Arrow. That should take care of everything.
No, they don't need to do that.
Did I completely miss this?
No.
I wasn't even paying attention.
And you know what? It doesn't have to be G-rated either. It doesn't. They don't have to go the other way, you know?
Right, right. So. I hear you. Very well said. No, that's great, Josh. Thank you very much for that. Please address all correspondence directly to Josh.
Hey, feel free. For this. Yeah. I'm okay with that.
All right, so I just wanted to mention a few of the references from this particular episode. As we mentioned before, Kenneth Bender is from Markovia.
Yes.
Which is a European country in DC Comics that has shown up a number of times, I believe. Count Vertigo was from there, if I'm not mistaken.
That is right, yes.
The Cupid title card returns for this episode, so that was cool. I enjoy when they switch up the title cards, so that was fun.
Then they switched it back at the end. Did you notice that?
They did, yep. They did go back to season 4 Arrowhead at the end. And if you guys didn't know, that each season has a different Arrowhead on it. You can find the screenshots at our Facebook page at Green Justice Podcast. It's pretty cool. I don't think we noticed this until beginning of season 3, I think, when we realized that this is different than last year. And then, season 2 was different than season 1. I made a reference. They call the Suicide Squad by its other name, Task Force X. I believe they're just doing that to really try to distance themselves from the upcoming Suicide Squad film, just so as not to confuse anybody and stuff like this. I forget what you call it when you put two words together and make a new word.
Stupid. No. Sorry. Personal opinion. Sorry.
Yeah, but Elicity is now actually part of the Arrow canon. It was actually on screen, so they were. All of the celebrity, quote-unquote celebrity couples that got together had the combined names like Blannon, Brad and Shannon or whatever it was. Yeah. And so
Thea knew him and referenced them like the first couple that was murdered. She used it for them. And then the one that they ended up saving with the chase, she did the same thing there. So Thea's up on her... Or Hollywood gossip, or I guess her Star City
right,
gossip.
Star City gossip, right. And then this is one that I'm sure nobody else saw. This is what I call part of the freeze frame goodness of the episode. On the same screen where it says, you know, Elicity wedding saved or whatever, when there it's the video at the end where they're escorting Cupid out from the chapel or wherever they were having the wedding. One of there's a ticker, a news ticker that goes across the bottom of the screen, you know, that, you know, we'll say like, you know, stock prices and stuff like that. So this is the story that is making headlines in Star City. Officers subdue an overly friendly giraffe near local park. And all I can think is a giraffe is running around Star City and we're not seeing it on the show.
That's what season 5 is going to be. See,
that is what I want.
We need Green Arrow to save the wildlife. And so maybe the giraffe is going to be like a King Shark kind of thing from The Flash, right? He's going to be the villain.
Giraffe. He would not be a villain. He would be running around giving out toys to the good girls and boys of Star City.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right. Well, Josh, I think we got to go. That's all we've got for this week's episode of Green Justice. But we hope you guys will stick with us. Regardless of what you feel about the show, please continue listening to us because I'm sure we're probably at least as enjoyable as Arrow, if not more so, on a weekly basis.
Hey, you know what? Even if you're watching a show that maybe wasn't good on certain weeks, having discussions with your friends about it and breaking it down a little bit, maybe looking for those symbols and things like that, yeah, maybe that makes it a little bit more enjoyable. That's my hope anyway. I certainly have a good time doing that with you. So. And if you guys enjoy that, we would love for you to leave us some feedback on iTunes. Just pop on over there. Leave us some positive comments. We'd love to see that. And, of course, lots of stars always helps too. So if you'd like to contact us directly, though, and feel free to address it straight to me if you disagree with me. I have no problem with that. You can email us at greenjustice@randomchatter.com. Or you can get over there on Twitter and express your distaste or, you know, maybe you agree with us. Maybe you are going to stick with it. You can find us there at Green Justice Pod, or you can go to our Facebook page, check out those cool pictures that Jay was talking about, facebook.com/Green Justice Podcast.
And while you're out on the web, you can also check out the other shows that we host, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files and Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast, all via the revised randomchatter.com website, which we have the return of a number of other podcasts over on that show or on that website as well. You can check out the main Random Chatter show. You can also check out Echo Base. We've got the Sabacc Table and Retro Convo, or the Retro Convo, going on over there. All of our shows are available in the iTunes Store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS, so you can check them out there. And of course, if you're enjoying the podcast, even if you're not enjoying Arrow, please tell your friends about our podcast, because we'd like to get some new listeners and keep you guys entertained there. And remember, if you don't keep listening, you have failed the city. This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for Arrow can be found at www.cwtv.com. Green Arrow, Arrow, and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.